Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Jim Gavin. Jim Gavin is founder and CEO of Key of Awesome Music. He has written and released over 24 albums of music. Now Jim has taken a beautiful turn to working with developmentally disabled adults across the state of New Jersey. Using his talent, he is able to create meaningful, non-judgmental ways for people to express themselves, create something out of nothing, and build confidence, all the while learning basic, intermediate, and on some occasions, expert-level concepts on the guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, percussion, and voice. With over a decade's worth of experience under his belt, working in this community, he is honored, humbled, and grateful, blessed to be able to use his gift of music for the greater good. In this episode, we talk about how homeschooling is not school at home, and it isn't just learning on a whim with no structure. How homeschooling is very structured and truly geared towards the child's actual needs. And lastly, how homeschooling is all about patience, compassion, and understanding, and thinking and trying things outside of the box to find out how your child or your children learn best. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Jim has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests and tell us, what's a fun fact about you that most people don't know?
Well, a fun fact about me is that I like to snowboard. Snowboarding is a lot of fun, and I find I can get really focused on just that. I almost use it as like a moving meditation. I think that's why I like it so much, is I like being on the mountain. I like being in nature, and it allows me to just focus on one thing. Because if like you lose focus, you're going down, you know? So, yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. You know what? I never thought of skiing like that or snowboarding. Like, you are actually learning a skill for life through snowboarding. Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't an intentional thing at first, but I've been really paying attention to it a lot lately, where it's okay, let's make sure we get down this without falling. Okay. Like, let's breathe correctly. Okay. I have to trust my edges. You have to trust your front edge and your toe and your heel, because if you don't trust it, you're going down, you know? And so it's about that balance. There is like a literal balance and a metaphorical balance with being on a snowboard too. It's like, I think it would be the same thing with surfing, you know, where you're trying to be one with the wave sort of thing, and not fight the current, but just ride it in, you know? So.
Wow. It's very deep. That's so cool. I love it. I love it. And I want to talk about you too. So you said you love outdoors, and I've seen you do a couple of your videos outdoors with your guitar and everything. So talk to us more about the Key of Awesome Music and like how you got started.
Oh man. How long do we have? No, I'm just kidding. I enjoy talking about this because it's been a labor of love. It's something that I've been interested in a very long time. So the Key of Awesome Music initially started as a inside joke with one of the bands that I was in.
Wow.
The name of it is, I'll give the like sort of Spark Notes, Cliff Notes version of this, where I was in a band several years ago. And to this day, as a heads up, like, I don't know how to read music. It's all by ear and intuition and like visually looking in at something and being able to replicate it. It's just the gift that I was given, I believe, is music. So I say that because We never had a full bassist in the band. It was always, we were picking, oh, can you play bass for us this weekend? We have a gig. You know, it was never like a steady bass player. And so we got this bass player to come out. He was a great bassist in like a neighboring band that we used to play shows with sometimes. And he was like, sure, I'll come out. And he's on stage and he practiced with us one time before this one gig. And this one song came up and he turns to me, what key is this song in? I said, it's in the Key of Awesome. Like as a joke, like as a sarcastic, you know. But, and then I'm like, whoa, that's kind of neat, because it's like music can just be this thing that doesn't always have to be by the book. And it just has to be what it is. And I see music as this awesome thing that connects people. And so that inside joke turned into like, I think this is what I want to call like my company when like I first started it. And so it started in 2018 officially. I was working at other nonprofits for mainly with those who had developmental disabilities up until that point in 2018 when I decided it was time to go off on my own. And it's been really something, you know, it's been almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in April. I'll be completely 100% on my own.
Wow.
Making clients, you know, making relationships, meeting new people, networking.
Yeah.
We have three part-time employees now too. So it's not just me. It's like other people helping out with various things. So it's really cool.
Wow. Wow. So how do you work with people with special needs and things like that? How does that come together with your music?
So there's multiple ways that we do this. I mean, since the pandemic, it's been, we can provide virtual and in-person ones now. It's individual lessons sometimes with an individual who wants to learn guitar, let's say, and we go at it in a completely different way than maybe you would typically learn. Something fun about teaching guitar for me to an individual who has special needs or developmental disabilities is they see things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. So there's one individual that I spend time with on guitar that comes to me and says, oh, that's like the quotation mark chord. And I'm like, whoa, because your fingers are like this. Like you're doing quotes. In order to play an A major chord or an E minor, your fingers are like this. So I'm like, wow, how cool is that? Like, all right, let's do the quotation. If that's how they're going to remember it, then we're going with that. You know, there's another guy, we play this one chord. It's like, it's kind of strange. It kind of looks like this, like your hands all crumpled up. And he's like, it looks like a pretzel. That's what he says. I'm like, let's do the pretzel chord. And so that's how he has learned. That's how he's put it in his head. Like that's what it looks like to him. And so it's really coming at teaching in a different way. Like I would never have thought to put that out there, but it's just listening to the individuals and like what is connecting for them and going with that, you know. And on piano, it could be, I teach mainly by color. If I were to show you my keyboard, and well, I'm not going to because it's going to be make a lot of noise bringing the computer over there, but it's color coded. And so I started teaching by color because I didn't want to have the assumption that everybody could read, because that's not always the case in this field of human services that I'm in. So I'm like, okay, we'll learn by color, kind of like paint by color thing. And so there's been different ways of teaching in that way, individual lessons and group. We do group sessions too, which are a lot of fun. And that can be anywhere between fun sing-along songs to like whatever's going on that month as a holiday. It could just be fun requests that like the individuals in the day program, let's say, want to hear, mixed with some guided percussion activities. Like I bring a bag of small percussion instruments with me and just guide them through basic rhythm activities that I've learned over time. And I try to incorporate a sign language element to it too, because I never want to assume that everybody can talk like we can, that maybe they can't hear, but they know sign language. And then that allows those individuals to participate and really get something out of it other than singing songs and they can't hear it. And they just see someone doing this and it doesn't look like anything's happening, you know? So I've learned enough of sign language to do this. So these group sessions like that they can be anything of all those three scenarios.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. You really built in a lot of dynamics into what you do. That's powerful. And what I also love about it is that you're taking music and you're bringing it to, you know, a community that might be overlooked sometimes, you know what I mean? And the truth is helping kids and helping even adults, anyone, use music as an opportunity to actually increase their brain power, to increase their neurological, you know, connections. It's such a powerful thing, knowing that the brain is neuroplastic and using music to be able to help process and help bring peace. I mean, there's things like music therapy. You know, there's so many things out there with music that it pains me that the arts are not always looked at with high regard, which I think is crazy. You know, it's just, it blows my mind. I know me growing up when I was in school, I had the hardest time understanding history. Oh my gosh. Like it was so hard to understand history. But when I got to college, I took an art history class. I was very good in art. Like I was just a natural artist. And I took an art history class, and I remember thinking, oh my God, they're going to ruin art for me. It's like this. It's like, this is terrible. But when I got to that class, I learned all the history I needed through understanding types of paint they used, the type of painting that they would do during that time period. I mean, the way they used to do like different structures and architect, it was just like amazing how I learned all the dates. I mean, like just everything through looking through the eyes of art. I mean, like how many kids probably would do amazing if they looked at all these subjects to possibly even music, because you can learn all the stuff through music.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you really can. Think about any children's song. Any children's song, they're silly songs, but like the ABC song, kids learn the ABCs through the ABC, through the alphabet ABC song, you know? They learn about manners and like life skill type things. Like if you put on any like little kids show, like just thinking from when I was growing up, like Barney, you know, you learn various things about love through Barney, you know, it's just, or Daniel Tiger's a newer one that my son recently watched. And that's about love and friendship. And there, and it's a lot of singing. And I mean, anything from Sesame Street, there's a lot of singing. People are there. The kids are learning it and they're having fun with it. They don't realize they're learning. Because it's just fun. Music's fun. Oh, we're singing this silly song, but yeah, we're also learning how to do math through this song, you know? So there's ways that you can really use music in so many different ways to make a difference and help people learn without them realizing
it. It's true. I used to actually have, when I taught Spanish, I used to have them make a rap song out of all like how to do verb. Oh my gosh, I forgot what it's called already. It's how long I haven't taught Spanish. Conjugations. When they conjugate verbs, I'd have them make up like songs or rap songs for it. Another day I was like going through my old files and I saw a bunch of them from my students. I was like, oh my God, I wonder how they're doing. But you know, they learned through songs. Yeah. So what made you start putting it on YouTube and everything and getting it out there? Because I know you started one way. What made you go into the YouTube world?
So it was basically the pandemic. I mean, it really was. It first started me putting videos on YouTube and just making them private or unlisted videos. And it was just for the individuals I was spending time with, so that if they had a hard time being on Zoom, let's say, or a Google Meet or whatever streaming platform that, you know, virtual streaming platform that people use, if they had a hard time with that, I would do a pre-recorded video. And some of the parents were like, cool with that. They were like, oh yeah, like that means Johnny can make it at any time he wants to. He could watch it whenever he wants to. And it's like, you're there with him. I would literally say into the camera, hey, Johnny, what's going on, man? Like, hope you're having a good week. You know, how's your sister doing? Like just personal video. And just, I didn't want that public, you know, obviously, like that would be strange. Like people are like, who's Johnny? You know? So it was just a way to still be in touch with people during the beginning of the pandemic. If the individuals had a hard time being behind Zoom, it's not for everybody, or they were doing something else during the day. Maybe they were working, but they still wanted music and a connection to the outside world. And so that's where it started. And then from there, I thought, you know, I could just make like themed videos and that could be really fun. And then I could use them as backups in case somebody's sick and we still can have a session, let's say. And, you know, so I started doing themed videos. It was just kind of fun. Okay, songs with the color red in the title. Okay, I just went on this binge of like looking up different topics. You know, I would get props and just to have fun with it. I still do videos. They're more educational, sort of teaching about certain things these days, especially on the drums and basic guitar and like basic piano type things. So it's kind of this broad spectrum I'm trying to paint just with music and on YouTube. And it's been really fun. You know, it's a little silly when I think about it from outsider's perspective, because let's face it, I'm looking at a camera. I'm talking to the camera like there's somebody on the other side at that point in time, but there's not. And it's fun. It's been a lot of, so it started from the pandemic and as a private unlisted videos at first. And then I'm like, you know what, maybe other people could benefit from this, you know? So,
yeah, I'm sure parents have been, you know, just so thankful when you were making those videos. And what about, have you gotten any feedback from other parents or from kids themselves?
Oh yes. I mean, at least two, if not three parents of individuals that I support in say May, June of 2020, I got these unreal, like amazing emails or a phone call from a parent saying, you don't know the impact that you're having on my son or daughter right now. All they know is our house right now. They haven't even gone outside in like 2 months, and you're the connection to the outside world for them.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't know like it would be like that kind of thing. I was just doing my thing like I normally do. And I'm like, all right, well, if we're going to be on Zoom, let's make the best of it. I remember at the beginning of the days of the pandemic where we'd have a 30-minute session with somebody and I'd spend 25 minutes of it them with them doing nothing about music. It was just talking to them about how are they feeling.
Yeah.
Letting them kind of just talk to me about whatever they wanted to talk about. And like, well, why don't we sing a song too?
Yeah.
You know, but I almost turned into like a therapy counseling session for them.
Sure. Yeah. During that time, it was really a rough time. It definitely was. How has it developed since? Now that I'm just going to say we're done with the pandemic. That's my view. So I don't care what anyone else says. I'm done with it. So I'm over. So like now, how's your business going with all the videos and everything? How's it changed? How's it like morphed and developed?
Well, now I don't do as many like say catered one-on-one videos for people. It's more of a general, okay, we're going to do this fun rhythm that I discovered. It's like a kind of a combination between salsa and reggaeton. And I break it down of how you can do that on like a bongo, let's say. So they're more sort of general, broad topics, not specifically catered towards one person. I don't do as many videos as I was doing back in 2020 and 2021. So, and the videos I do now are a lot shorter as well. So that's also changed.
Yeah.
I still run a lot of virtual sessions on Zoom and Google Meet and FaceTime even still to this day. I have about half of my work week is still virtual.
Wow. There's
just some individuals that are just, all right, this is what we're doing. And they're still doing it. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So it's really like a very still even split almost down the middle of in-person sessions and virtual.
Oh, that's really cool. So if a parent wants to connect with you, where would they be able to find your resources and connect up with you?
So if they wanted to, you could just go to like our website. It's keyofawesomemusic.com. On our YouTube channel is the same thing. It's like at Key of Awesome Music. If you just look up and see our logo, which is in the back of the video here.
Yeah.
That's our logo. And if they want to reach out on email, like that'd be fine with that. It's just info@keyofawesomemusic.com. I mean, it can't get much easier than
places. Yeah. Awesome. So I'll put all that information in your show notes so that parents can connect up with you. So as we're wrapping it up, what's one big takeaway you want to leave with families who are listening to our conversation today?
Well, man, there's many things that I would want to leave with people, but I'll pick one. Yeah. And the one is, especially for those who maybe are homeschooling or doing things, you know, still virtual, you know, there are a lot of really cool resources out there and people who want to help. And this doesn't just have to do with music. It just has to do with just everything in life. And to just reach out, you know, people are generally good. And there's still a lot of goodness in the world. And I'm a firm believer of that. And sometimes we have to dig a little bit to find it. But there's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of good resources and people that care that really want to help in whatever area that might be in.
Yeah. Yeah. The one good thing that the pandemic did was it opened up a whole world that's virtual. So now we have so many more options. We have in-person and virtual to be able to do these things. And it's that I think for me, because I teach virtually, I'm a virtual teacher. And I have to admit, like, I absolutely love it. I do not think I want to go back into the classroom in live with kids. I'm not against it. I think it's fantastic, whatever. But honestly, for me, I absolutely love being online. I'm able to connect more with my students. I'm actually able to like be more one-on-one and get individualized. I find it so much easier. So I agree with you. Like, you know, just find your groove and go for it. And there are people out there. And if you mess up, right? Like if we mess up and we find someone like, oh my gosh, just stop going to them. It's that simple.
Yeah, there's just say next and move on to the next one and find someone who is more up your alley. Let's say.
Like you. That's awesome. Jim, it's been awesome having you on today. Thanks so much for coming on and just sharing, you know, all your wisdom and your experience with us.
Oh, that means a lot to me. I'm still learning many things every day, and I don't think I'm that wise yet, but maybe one day, maybe one day. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate you having me on. It's always nice to talk, nice to talk shop with a like-minded person, let's say.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.